Neighbors.
Welcome home, neighbors.
Hello, neighbors.
We're listening from
Arizona,
Florida,
Maryland,
New York,
New Jersey,
Indianapolis,
California,
Utah,
Michigan,
Iowa,
Massachusetts,
Georgia,
Canada.
Our home resort is
Animal Kingdom,
Polynesian,
Great Lake Tahoe,
Old Key West,
Riviera,
Boardwalk,
Alani Resort,
Hilton Head,
Boulder Ridge,
Copper Creek,
Grand Floridian,
Saratoga Springs,
Beach Club,
and Wilderness Lodge.
And you're listening to
my
Hello and welcome to DVC Newscast. This is episode 140, which is crazy. And I am Shannon. And joining me today, we got the original crew. We got Pete.
Yeah, Sue was going to join us and then she got an extra shift and she wasn't able to join us. She's over there at World of DVC working the timeshare phones. If you're looking to purchase today and you call over there, you might be talking to Sue.
Yeah. But we have a lot of news stories. It was kind of a slow week and then a lot happened. But before we get into the stories, let's just give a shout out to today's sponsor. Our sponsor for today is DVC Rental Store. So if you are looking to maybe try out DVC, see what it's all about, a great way to do that is to rent points for your upcoming vacation. They have a lot of already booked vacations and you can browse their website to see if any of their dates work with your vacation dates. Or maybe you are an owner that can't use your points this year and you don't want to let them go to waste. Let our friends at the DVC Rental Store handle renting out the points for you. You won't have to, all you have to do is book the reservation and they will take care of the rest. So definitely hit up our friends at the DVC Rental Store. And I would say, because we're going to talk about this resort in a little bit, it's a really great time to rent points at the new Fort Wilderness cabins, because we are seeing a lot of people, especially in that 7-month window. There is a lot of availability for those, and there's a great point value. So I've seen a lot of DVC rentals for the Fort Wilderness cabins, but we'll talk about them in a little bit. Okay, so we actually recorded this episode on Saturday, May 11th, and breaking news on, of course, the next day, Sunday, May 12th, there was a post that, there was a post that they were going to announce a big major announcement about Tiana's Bayou Adventure was going to happen tonight, I think on American Idol, but Disney World accidentally posted on their website that the ride was going to be opening June 28th. But it's now been taken down. We decided just to kind of do a real quick update because this is breaking news. We do expect that this will be confirmed tonight on American Idol, but that Tiana's Bayou Adventure is going to open up June 28th. We're kind of recording this really kind of on the whim, but what do you think about that? What do you think?
Well, you were spot on. You thought it was going to open shortly after Test Track closed, probably before July 4th. And right on. I mean, you'll probably have some previews leading up to that date.
Yeah.
The media previews are like the 8th through the, or something like
that. The 8th through the 11th. Yes. And I mean, I had expected Juneteenth. So June 19th. I think that they probably were aiming for that and then maybe just realized it wasn't going to work, or maybe that would have just sparked too much controversy given that they may, you know, and I think that too, where it shouldn't be a controversial date, but in this environment, it can be. So I can see why they maybe decided against that, but I think it's not going to work for our June 4th and June 5th dates for Ryder and I, but
it doesn't sound like it, but you'll be there in July when you're.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be there in July. So yeah. And it'll be the good thing about when we go in July, it'll have been at least a little over 3 weeks, you know, 3.5 weeks by the time. So all those initial, you know, vloggers and
got to ride it first day people.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that will be, and hopefully any kinks that might be happening, but I'm excited. I am curious as to when the previews will happen. If there'll be previews, I assume there will be.
I'm sure there will be. I mean, Disney doesn't really do it any other way nowadays. And I think they do that kind of to mitigate the crowds of opening day.
Right.
June 28th is the official day, but by having it available to annual pass holders and DVC members earlier than that, you don't get those super fans going
lining up.
I got to come on the 28th, you know? So I think we'll still hear that. I would assume between the media previews on the 11th So if you have a trip in June between the 11th and the 28th, you know, as a DVC member, you might get it. You might get a chance to see it early.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And I mean, it was closed for almost 18 months because it closed in late, I think, late January of 2023. And yeah, I'm excited now. The big question and hopefully that will be answered. Now, we probably won't have a show because you're traveling to Disneyland and we probably won't have enough news to do another show. So there'll be other updates coming up. But by the time we get a show, it'll probably be old news. Let's be honest. Yeah. But,
that's why we wanted to throw it in here.
Exactly.
Rather than not talk about it for a week and a half or something. So.
But I think the big question is this going to be a virtual queue and will that eliminate the virtual queue for Tron? So I think that's going to be very interesting of how that works out.
Is it virtual queue? Is it Lightning Lane? Almost definitely will be a individual paid Lightning Lane.
Will they drop
the paid Lightning Lane for?
I don't think so. I think they'll leave. Tron,
but I was going to say for Seven Dwarfs.
Oh, true.
Because right that's now,
right, I forgot.
Two,
right? That's right, I forgot.
Two. So if you move it to this, are you going to have three? Maybe they will. I don't know.
It is Disney World.
Seven Dwarfs is very popular.
It is. And that one sells out pretty quickly too. Yeah. So I could see them not like just leaving it all three and it's just, we're going to do it. Like who cares, you know? so I think that's going to be the big question. I think is will this be a virtual queue? I expect it to be a virtual queue at first, but does that mean the virtual queue for Tron is going away? I don't know. Time will tell. So hopefully that will all be answered by the time we do get an episode up, but we did want to make sure we include that. So the rest of this episode was recorded the day before. So if we talk, I think we referenced Tiana's a couple times. It was because it was recorded the day before, but let us know, in our my DVC points community, what you think about it.
Yeah. And if you're going to try to get there for one of the previews, once those get announced I'm sure we'll be talking about it in our next episode in more detail.
Absolutely.
All right. Back to the regular show.
But let's start with our first story.
Yeah. And this, we always kind of record on a Thursday because we're like, they never do any big announcements on Friday. But this week they did a pretty big announcement on Friday. Not that we didn't know this was coming, but on Friday, May 11th, Disney released the first announced details of the new Polynesian DVC Tower, and it's going to be called the Island Tower at Disney's Polynesian Villas and Bungalows. So I don't know if we're going to be calling it the ITDPVB.
That's a lot, yeah.
Probably not. We'll just call it the Island Tower, right?
I think it'll be, I would say ITP, Island Tower ITP. At Polynesian, ITP. Well,
I like that. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll go with that.
We'll get that going. They mentioned it's a 10-story tower overlooking the Seven Seas Lagoon, and it's scheduled to open in December of 2024. We knew it was late 2024, but we didn't have a month yet. They shared some new images of the lobby area decked out in shades of brown and blue. And my first comment was, hey, they learned their mistake from Riviera, and it really has a very, at least from the photos, a very grand looking lobby. And I've become a Riviera apologist, and I really do like Riviera a lot, but to me, they botched the lobby there. It feels like you're in a bus station. It should feel as grand as the rest of the resort does, and I really wish they'd done better. And so seeing this, I was like, oh, that's cool, because especially, this isn't necessarily it's not the main building for the Poly, right? But the Poly already has a main lobby, so I wasn't sure how they were going to handle this, but it does look like they're going to have a decent size area for a lobby there, which is nice. They did announce that they will feature a variety of room types that will sleep from 2 to 9 guests, such as duo studios, spacious 1 and 2 bedroom villas, and brand new 2 bedroom penthouse villas. Regular studios were also referenced in the press release, though not in the article on the Disney Parks blog. However, based on the statement, it seems like there won't be any grand villas because they're saying maximum is 9 guests, and grand villas are 3 bedrooms and they're usually 12 guests. So it looks like there won't be any grand villas in this tower. So if you were specifically looking for that, you might be out of luck. There's a lot of information that hasn't been released, the on sale date, the points charts, or even the exact opening date of the property. But Disney did say that they're going to be offering cash bookings as follows. On June 4th, for DVC members, who, if you want to book there, you can contact member services. On June 5th, you'll be able to, as an annual pass holder, get a jump on the general public. And then on June 6th, for the general public. So again, first bookings are in December. We don't have a day, so I don't know if that means, you know, December 1st or December 25th. But that's the information we have so far. I've been saying all along, I think sales are going to start June or July. So I don't think we're that far off from sales. But what do you think of all this, Shannon? You think that means we're going to see sales opening up pretty soon? You know?
Yeah, I would think that they're going to open up sales pretty soon. But hearing that the Fort Wilderness cabins are not selling, like, just not only not like they planned, but they are not selling. There's very few owners. And I didn't realize, because I don't really pay attention to the numbers. That's your thing.
Right.
But I have heard, I mean, even Lentesta reported it on the Disney Dish, and they don't really do a lot of Disney DVC news. And it's just like, it's just not selling. So I'm curious, are they concerned that what the Poly is going to detract from that? Or are people waiting for the Poly? I don't know. I don't know. I think that just, it's a different demographic of people who will purchase the Fort Wilderness cabins and people that will purchase Polynesian. I wonder if they'll maybe push this back because of Fort Wilderness, or if they're more eager to get it open because the sales are so soft for Fort Wilderness.
I don't know what happened with Fort Wilderness. It doesn't surprise me at all that it's soft. It doesn't feel like a market for DVC, the Fort Wilderness. I mean, because to me, DVC is deluxe vacations at a discounted price. And I'm sorry, Fort Wilderness is not a deluxe location. You can make the cabins as nice as you want, but you're still at a place where you have to have a golf cart to get around. And, you know, there's an internal bus, so you got to drive around in the internal bus before you can get to the bus to take you to the other parks. And I don't know. It's just,
well, I have my own theories. I mean, yes, I agree with you in that regard. I think that they were doing, one, I think they were targeting the Fort Wilderness due to, one, they're going to offset their maintenance fees, right? Fort Wilderness costs a lot to maintain. If they can pass a lot of that off to DVC owners, let's do that. That's going to save Disney a lot of money and pass that off. So there's that one thing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that it's easy to maintain anytime they have to switch out the cabins, because they do have to update those every couple years. And I am a fan of the new layout and the new, it is larger inside. I stayed in one of the older cabins. It was very dark. It creaked a lot. You know, it was a full bed in the main bedroom. And there was I think the layout is better overall. The actual outside of the cabin, I've yet to see. I know it looks a little bit more modern, but that doesn't really bother me. But I can see where people are upset. But the actual layout of the cabin, I think I will like once I actually live in it.
And quite honestly, the maintenance fee is going to turn off any existing members, I would think.
Absolutely. And then plus you have the resale restrictions, which also turns off any existing members. New members might not know. A couple things, though, is one, there's no extra incentive. There's no extra pool for DVC members. There's no like new pool. There's no community hall. There's nothing new. It's just basically, here's a cabin. Here's a room, which is what you do. But I mean, you have Beach Club that has the Storm Along Bay.
That's it. Exactly. I mean, this is, you know, going back to the Poly Tower. It's going to have its own pool.
Exactly.
It's very likely going to have its own restaurant. We don't know yet. They haven't released all the details, but based on the design of the place, the layouts and everything, it for sure looks like there's going to be at least a quick service restaurant on the first floor of some sort. Yeah, you're off to the side of the Poly, but you're not way out. I mean, right. I've gone there a couple times to take photos of the new building, and from the lobby to where I went to take pictures, which is basically the nearest longhouse, it's 300 feet.
Is it faster to walk to, for as far as the monorail, is it faster to walk to Grand Floridian, or would it be faster to walk to Polynesian?
No, I think it'll still be faster to walk to the Polynesian. Okay. Now, it depends where you are in the building.
Right.
My guess would be 5 to 8 minute walk to the monorail. It's not going to be any worse than like being on the other end of the Polynesian and going to the Grand Ceremonial House. It's really not going to be that far. I don't think it's going to be that far from the Grand Floridian, to be honest, either. But I don't think it's going to be closer to the Grand Floridian. I don't think generally people will, you know, get off at the Grand Floridian stop to walk back to the Longhouse, unless you're on the far, far end of it, maybe. But I mean,
and it's, the gym, Polynesian and Grand Floridian share a gym.
Right.
And if you are like my husband who works out every morning on vacation, it's actually closer to the gym. So
it'll be really close to the gym. Yeah.
And the spa. So my husband can work out and I can get a massage.
Yeah. Since his spa is going to be pretty near there too. Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty close to the DVC Tower at Grand Floridian, but not as close to the main building.
I think this is going to be very popular.
Oh,
not,
yeah.
Not necessarily. Well, I think it's going to be very popular, but I also think it's going to be very popular for wedding parties. Because I think you're going to have newer features, obviously the Grand Floridian, but you have the DVC, but this is, they're going to have more opportunities and more rooms available. So I think you'll see a lot of wedding parties because it's one bedrooms, two bedrooms, getting ready. Cause it is so close to the wedding pavilion as well.
Well, and again, it's in the existing, all indications are it's the same condo association, right? So right. You're going to, if you buy there, you're also going to have access to all the other studios as well. So if you want to stay in the tower, you can, and it does seem like they're going to have some amount of studios in the tower. I bet it's going to be less than you normally see in a building of that size, because they have 300 other studios. You will have access to those other studios. The existing owner's got to be thrilled because now they're going to have access to one bedrooms and two bedrooms and duos. And the bungalows aren't weighing down the resort as much either. So it really is, this is definitely a win for DVC and DVC members, and especially Poly members.
They haven't released points yet, right?
They have not. I would expect for studios, it's going to be the same as the studios that exist. If it's facing the Seven Seas Lagoon, it's right. going to be the same points as the studios in the Longhouses. I'm imagining there's going to be two. There's going to be the preferred, which are going to be the ones facing the lake view. They'll probably call them. And then you'll have the standard view, which will be the ones facing away from the lake. I don't think everything will view the lake. I think half the building is going to be facing the other way. Yeah, so they'll have standard view, lake view. Deluxe penthouses that they mentioned, those I'm sure will all be Lakeview. I think if you're looking at point charts, just go to the Grand Floridian, and those are going to be the point charts more or less.
And this is the thing, they mentioned duo studios, and they had mentioned studios in the press release, but when they did this, they didn't mention any regular studios. Is that correct?
So in the blog post, they didn't mention regular studios, but then if you read the press release, and I did go to it, the press release says, and also there will be standard studios. Now, they may be smaller than the longhouses, because the longhouses are very large, right?
I totally think they'll be smaller. And yeah. I think also what I'm curious about when I was asking about the point charts is, are they going to adjust the points? Are they going to use this opportunity to adjust the points for the bungalows? Because we know the bungalows are priced so ridiculously high. Like they're the Cascade cabins are so much better points. Like they're pretty much the same and they're priced better.
Yeah.
So will they take this opportunity to adjust the points? And I don't know. I maybe they're just going to be greedy and they just don't care. But I'd be curious if we'll see the points for the bungalows come down. Not a lot, but yeah, a little bit.
What I would say is this, because I don't know behind the scenes.
Yeah.
If the bungalows are staying empty, then they probably... Like if they're not filling them, if a lot of them are empty, then I could see them doing that. If they're just going for cash, probably not. I know they're not renting well to DVC members per se, but if they're being filled with cash, then DVC is perfectly fine, and they probably aren't going to change anything.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know. And the other thing we don't know is what are they going to do with the maintenance fees? When the Grand Floridian opened the new building, I think they kept them the same.
I don't. So you're asking the wrong person.
Yeah. No, I'm just trying to go by memory. They didn't adjust it up or down. They just were like, okay, it's going to be the same maintenance fees. So we'll see if they do the same thing here. I think they will, but again, until we see it, they could adjust the maintenance fees for the whole, again, it has to have all the same maintenance fees because it's all one unit. This isn't like Wilderness Lodge with two different units, though even at Wilderness Lodge, if you look, they've stayed pretty close. They're not exactly the same. I think Boulder Ridge is a little bit more money, but it's only cents. It's only pennies more. But in this case, they'll be the same. So I think initially, you know, they'll probably just come out with the same points, but will it in the next couple of years, will they have to adjust? I don't know. Lots of questions still to be answered, but I'm excited because this is a location that I think benefits a lot of members. Having a tower there, not being limited to studios. I love the Poly, so I think this is great. Unlike the cabins, I can't wait to stay here.
Yeah, absolutely. And then speaking of the cabins, we have a policy changes. So there's been quite a few policy changes at Fort Wilderness. And then there's also a feature that's not going to be available for the foreseeable future, which really affects me. And I'm very sad about because it was something I was planning to do. Disney has updated some of their policies around golf carts, bikes, and RV rentals. Now, guests may only rent golf carts directly from Disney. Reservations can be made by calling 407-824-2724. Now, before you could rent offsite and the price, I will say I am staying six nights in July and the price for six nights is $420. It is $70 a day. The offsite rental, I was looking and it was the average price was $300 a week. So it's considerably more. So even if we were staying a full week, it would be almost $500. They had made it at this point difficult to rent offsite where you had to it was just a little bit more challenging to rent offsite. They couldn't deliver it to you. You had to meet them somewhere, et cetera. But now it's basically forbidden. You just can't. And then guests can provide their own golf carts, but starting June 1st must provide proof of liability insurance within $100,000 individual or $300,000 overall minimum. Drivers must be at least 16.
And that's how you prevent outside rentals by having the person have to provide insurance.
Exactly. Passengers have to have their own seat, no lap sitting. Bikes are allowed, but must have headlights and taillights and must be manually powered. No e-bikes. That I can understand because e-bikes, that I understand. And then RVs can only be rented from one of Disney's featured providers. They can be delivered without the guests being present by arrangement. So let's talk about that. We've talked about doing the camping and doing and renting an RV. Mm-hmm. You know, there is a lot of companies that do this. Jeremy from Main Street Magic, they've done it a couple times. I'm concerned that this is going to really hurt, you know, some small businesses that maybe rent and maybe aren't one of these featured providers. That's going to be very sad. Like, you know, because there's a lot of small businesses that do this and I don't know what I haven't looked at the feature provider list, but that just makes me sad because I understand that there's probably some liability and there's some risks there, but I also sometimes think it's also Disney being greedy.
Yeah, I don't know in this case because this isn't Disney saying you have to rent from us. Mm-hmm. You're just saying you have to rent from these certain providers, and it's probably the case that you say is that the provider has to have enough liability insurance.
Right.
And, you know, I work for a large company and any vendors or any contractors we use have to have a minimum of like $1 million in liability insurance. And it kind of cuts out some of the smaller contractors that way.
Right.
It might be something similar to that where they're basically saying, yeah, you can be on our list, but you have to have the insurance. And it could hurt some of the smaller businesses for sure.
And then a lot of these RV companies have golf carts that they can rent. And now it looks like you cannot even. So if you are booking a RV, you can't rent a golf cart from them too. So, you know, that adds to the cost. And that's, again, this is something that is adding to the cost of staying at Fort Wilderness. Now, we have one reserved. I don't know if we're going to go through with it. We can cancel up to 24 hours before. We're debating it or maybe renting it only for part of the time because that's a lot of money and it's a lot of extra money. And we have our car. It's not like we won't have a car. We might not need it.
You can use your car to get around the Disney resort.
Right.
But within the campgrounds, there's no parking at any of the...
No, you need you have to take the internal bus.
So you need to use the internal bus if you don't have a golf cart.
Right. Yeah, you'll have to take the internal bus. Now, fortunately, right now, the loop that's open is 2300, and 2300 is very close to one of the internal bus stops. That's probably where we will end up being, and we'll talk about that they're opening up another loop too. will probably be near a bus stop, and that's something that we're considering. We're, you know, again, we haven't made that decision. We'll make that decision closer to the date. But that's just something else you have to consider when staying at the campgrounds, is that you have to add in that extra cost if you aren't going to have a car. And I think that, again, is affecting the sales. And one of the things I didn't, because I we were talking at the Poly and I didn't want to talk too much about the Fort Wilderness, but now that we are, one of the things I will also say is, like I've mentioned before, I have friends that go, I have a friend that they have gone for, I think the last 11 or 12 years, every Thanksgiving. They have a group of like 10 to 15 families that book every Thanksgiving. They stay for, I think it's like 5 nights during the Thanksgiving holiday. And they do this every year. And all she knows, I saw her about 2 weeks ago, we were talking about it. And I said, well, have you researched it? She's like, oh, I don't, we have like, and I said, they haven't sent you anything? Like Disney hasn't contacted you? They know them. I mean, they know these people. They have all that information. Like they know who books there every year. They're booked there for this next Thanksgiving already. And they haven't been targeted at all. Like they have not received any information from Disney Vacation Club. All they know is that it's going away to be a timeshare. That's all they know. But Disney Vacation Club has not reached out to these people, which is
crazy.
Well, I think it's that Disney is, they kind of live in that echo chamber. And I think that they just kind of feel like a lot of these people will come to them. Like, oh, they obviously love the cabins. They're going to come to us and want to buy, instead of thinking we need to reach out to these people and educate them.
Yeah, you know? But I still feel like, because as a DVC member, the more casual Disney fan and even some very regular Disney fans never think about DVC.
Correct.
You know, I have friends that are that go every single year, have never even thought of DVC and, until you talk it up. So, I mean, Disney still markets it like crazy in the parks and everything like that. And I would think they would take advantage of people that book every year and market to them, at least send them brochures and stuff.
Right. But yeah.
Maybe they're just waiting until they actually come. I mean, because that could well be, because, I mean, your best marketing is, you're here, and that's always been Disney's thing, right? You're at Disney. Let's grab you while you're in the magic and give you the sales pitch, as opposed to trying to pitch it to you when you're at home or something like that.
And that'll be interesting to see, because, you know, like I said, these people that do go, usually it's they don't go to the parks. Like they just go to the Fort Wilderness. Like maybe they'll go to one park, but that's it. So
on the bright side, let them know that there's not going to be a quick removal of cash.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Rooms.
But yeah, that's one of the things I wanted to add as well. And then my husband is very upset, which I didn't even think about. There is no gym because it's a moderate resort. They don't have a gym because all deluxe resorts have a gym. Because he asked me and he's like, there's no gym. And I'm like, oh no, it's probably not. And I looked it up. There's not. That's another feature that it is. Well, the cabins aren't really moderate. I kind of think it's like moderate plus, you know, there's no laundry. And there's no gym. That's something that's affecting my husband. We'll just make him run.
There's some running paths. You know, and I'm of that opinion too, though. It's like, yeah, the cabins may be deluxe, but the resort is not deluxe.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
And then the last thing was that beginning July 13th, horseback riding will be temporarily unavailable Monday through Friday due to construction. Rides may be available on Saturdays and Sundays during this time. Check the MDE mobile app on Friday of each week to see if horseback riding is happening on the following Saturday and Sunday. This affects me because this was something I was really looking forward to doing. My husband's terrified of horses. For those that don't know, I grew up horseback riding. I was a competitive horseback rider when I was younger. And I started riding when I was like 2. I don't ride anymore. I haven't had a horse in many years, but I was very much looking forward to this. I'd heard great things about it. We saw it the last time, and it was something I was really looking forward to. I had asked a friend of mine. He was going to join me. And then this came out. I literally asked him the day before. I'm like, hey, I'm going to be in town. You want to do this? And he's like, yes, we're going to do it. And because Ryder is too young, he meets the height requirements, but he's a year too young. You have to be 9. Then they announced that they're not going to be available. I mean, I understand if there's construction.
It did say temporarily unavailable. Yeah. So it's not like they're not getting rid of the horses.
Right. And it makes sense because the horses have a trail. Like they have a specific trail that they go on. And that way the horses are pretty much trained. The horses know it. That way, if you never ridden before and you get a little lost, the horse knows where it's going. So that helps because you can easily get lost in at Fort Wilderness. So it makes sense that if there's construction happening, you know, on the trail and it's going to affect the horse, that's the last thing you want is be on a horse and construction scares them. But I am a little disappointed about it. My husband's like, well, you can find somewhere else to go horseback ride. I'm like, that's not the point. You're missing the point. Anyway.
I know your annual pass doesn't have weekends, though. Are you coming in on a?
We leave on a Saturday. We leave on Saturday. Okay. So I could, we talked about that. I mean, obviously I won't be able to know until the Friday before.
Right.
So the but good thing is.
Do it in the morning.
Yeah, I could do it in the morning before we leave. And I would definitely have enough time to do that. And the good thing is that because I don't have to make reservations, we wouldn't be able to make the reservations the day before. My thought is I'm going to be exhausted by Saturday and I'm not going to want to go horseback riding because horseback riding, it's work. You know, you realize it after you do it.
I couldn't imagine doing it in the Florida summer heat.
Yeah.
I really couldn't.
So, yeah, my guess is I'll probably skip it. We actually might go go to Ocala and see my sister and my niece. And they have, they live on 10 acres and have 6 horses of their own. So I can horseback ride there for free.
Yeah.
But just anybody that was thinking about going, know that it's going to be unavailable, but we understand why, but it's still disappointing.
Yep. All right. And third story, and I'm going to be quick with this one because we got a lot of stories today. This is the third time we've had this story, but Disneyland Forward, again, out in Disneyland, it passed the final hurdle from the Anaheim City Council. And there's an article in the Disney Parks blog. So if you're interested, we have some quotes in that. But it's basically almost a $2 billion spend for Disneyland in the next 10 years. So basically, this agreement says Disneyland has to spend $2 billion plus additional money for low-income housing, for parking, for community services, things like that. So it's actually more than $2 billion. Yeah, this should really be a benefit to Disneyland Resort. One of the big things they've been talking about doing for years is, for those that have been out there, you have all the hotels on Harbor Boulevard. They're talking about moving the parking lot behind those hotels and then having a pedestrian walkway that comes across Harbor Boulevard and drops people off. And then it'll allow them to convert some of the existing parking into more resort area. So they're talking more hotels, they're talking more attractions. It's a pretty big deal once it starts happening. And I think at D23, we're going to see a lot about this. I think for people hoping that Walt Disney World will get some announcements at D23, not that we're not going to see more about the Animal Kingdom area. I bet we'll get some details about that. But I think D23 is going to spend a lot of time talking about Disneyland Forward. So,
yep.
Yeah. I'm just going to stop with that there.
And you're going soon, right?
Oh my gosh. I'm going in a week.
That's awesome. Yes.
This will not be built yet.
Now, there's nothing cleared yet, is there? No.
No, right? No. And as I said, I think realistically more attractions are probably 3 to 4 years off.
Okay.
At least, you know, I think the first thing that they'll look at doing is the new parking structure. I could see that breaking ground even before D23. And in the end, I'm sure there's already plans with Disney for what's going to be, you know, what they're going to put in, but don't expect, you know, don't book your 2026 trip expecting a bunch of new rides. You know, this is, I think, 3 to 5 years off before we really start seeing expansion. So
back to the East Coast and back to the Wilderness area, that permit on Reflections has been extended 5 years. And for those of Game of Thrones fans, I kind of said, what is dead may never die. Well, this is this. If you don't watch Game of Thrones, you won't understand. While Disney has halted construction on Reflections during the COVID pandemic, they have not yet announced that the resort is a go. On May 8th, 2024, Disney submitted a request to the South Florida Water Management District to extend its construction permits for an additional 5 years. If approved, this would extend the construction window to May 29th, 2029. Permit specifics say the request is due to this project was shut down during COVID-19 conditions. So we don't know if it means that it's a go, but it's definitely not dead. What do you think? Yeah.
For those that don't remember, because it was a while ago, this was supposed to be at the Fort Wilderness location where the old River Country was. It was, in fact, they tore down, I think,
Backyard barbecue.
Yeah, Mickey's backyard barbecue was torn down. And they were going to build basically a part DVC, part cash new resort hotel that was going to have cabins like many of the new resorts. They even announced like Tiana's restaurant was going to be there. I mean, there was a lot of details released, and then COVID happened, and this was basically backburnered. They never officially announced that it was canceled, but they halted all construction, and there has not. And then, of course, since then, they've started construction on the Poly Tower, and they've started construction on the cabins, but they have not gone back to this. I don't know. This, to me, you know, a lot of people have talked about the cabins and like, well, part of the reason the cabins don't work well is because it's just cabins. And if you don't want a cabin, you don't have any other options. So there's been a lot of speculation even before this announcement was made that maybe you're going to see Reflections come back and they'll combine the cabins with this, and therefore you'll get a better fit for DVC because you'll have a resort that's there that'll be for DVC members as well as the cabins. It'll all be one resort. Nothing official except that 5-year extension to me says it's certainly still in the works for Disney, because if they were just going to kill it, why would they extend that permit? I mean, I'm sure it doesn't have anything to do, but it at least has to still be in the mind.
And it'll be interesting to see, because I mean, obviously there was a lot of bashing of this resort. One, the name is awful. The name is awful, yeah. But it did resemble a Hampton Inn. It did. And
the photos weren't great.
No. Yeah, the photos were not great. So I was actually excited about this and the potential of it. I still hated the name. And I think that, but it'd be interesting if they revisit a lot of the renderings and maybe the name, but they still continue with the resort, but kind of maybe tweak everything a little bit since it's kind of been off the table. It'd give them an opportunity to come up with a different name. I don't know. What upset me, because we were such a fan of the backyard barbecue. Now Ryder's older and but it was such a great, he loved it. We went when he was 2 and when he was 3, and it was something that we missed. Like, it was something that we really missed that when he was that age. So to have them tear it down and then for no reason was such a disappointment. I hope that something goes there in memory of River Country.
You know, right now, when Nepali opens, you have 5, if I'm counting properly, 5 DVC properties that are actively selling, and we can list those out: Aulani, Riviera, the cabins at Fort Wilderness, the Polynesian, obviously, and am I missing one? Hold on. Oh, the Disneyland Hotel.
Right.
The 5th one. 5 total, 3 on property. So I don't see them rushing to open something else. Because you have Riviera. Riviera is 70% sold. It's coming along, but now you're bringing all those Poly points online. But 5 years, I could see, you know, 4 or 5 years from now, they're going to need, Riviera is probably going to sell out in 3 years, maybe 4 once the Poly comes online. Poly is going to be pretty big. So I think the Poly will take three or four years. We could see whatever the next DVC is going to be, we will probably hear something in the next 12 to 18 months about it. So this may be our, what would it be, 18th? I forget I lost track of the numbers, but yeah.
I think it'll be 19, because I think the cabins are I don't know. With
cabins
with
Are 18?
17. Yeah. I think they're 17, but Poly, I don't know if that's going to be 18.
Poly will not be its own, so it'll be part of the existing one, yeah.
There. Okay. I think it's a great location for a resort as well. So, and then we're still at Fort Wilderness.
Yep. So this is something else I just caught and I added here, is that Disney has declared 33 more cabins as of April 3rd. This was actually about 3 weeks before the 7-month window opens. That might be why you had such a fairly easy time booking your booking your resort there. But anyways, 33 more cabins. So now there are 63 cabins that are part of DVC that are available for booking by DVC members. These new cabins are going to be part of the 2500 loop. So it's 2501 to 2533 for those in the know on the cabins. And of these units, 8 of those are ADA compliant versus the regular design. So 63 cabins will be in the DVC system. The remaining 300 or so will still be cash.
Yep.
So that's not that exciting, I guess.
And just so you know, I mean, I have the best and worst rooms on YouTube. It's kind of a feature that's like a playlist, and I do go over the cabins. I'm not going to be redoing it for the DVC because the locations haven't changed. The cabins are the same. Yeah. So there's nothing really to redo. But I do talk about the different loops and why you'd maybe want to get one loop over another. So the loops that are available, if you are requesting, the loops are 2,300 and then this one is 2,500. So those are the first two loops. So if you're booking in the near future, don't request a cabin in 2,800 because if you're booking DVC, because that one is not going to be a DVC cabin.
Yeah. Is one of these better than the other?
For me, the 2,300, I don't remember where 2,500 is offhand. 2,300, I remember one end is really close to one of the bus stops. So obviously we did request that, you know, one of those two that is right near the end of the loop so that we would be very close to the bus stop so we would be able to walk out. I don't know about 2,500. It's so big. But when you're in a loop, if you're in the middle of the loop, it's great because it's very quiet and peaceful. But if you have to walk to a bus stop, it can be a walk. You know, making these requests are pretty convenient. I believe the ones at the front, there's two at the front, but those were at one point ADA. I don't think they are now. I have a feeling that those are going to be used for tours. I don't think those are going to be available to book. You could try and request those, but my guess is those are probably going to be for tours.
Yeah.
At least in the meantime. And now we're halfway to Halloween. So that means that Disney has announced 38 dates for the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party in 2024. Dates are starting earlier than ever. And that's the first date is August 9th. And all I can think of, oh, you better have a very small Halloween costume, a very, very lightweight Halloween costume, because that is hot. It is hot in August. Wear
your Tinkerbell outfit for sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's when you're shopping. Anyway, all dates will be listed in our show notes. Tickets went on sale for resort guests May 8th and will be open to the public on May 15th. Ticket prices range from $119 to $199, with DVC members and annual pass holders getting $10 off for dates in August and September, and not every date in August and September. So there's some dates that are, some people are like, oh, these dates are already sold out. And I'm like, no, it's just that there's no discount for those dates. August 9th, they run to October 31st. The first date usually sells out, and October 31st will be the first two to sell out, I would guess.
But a lot of them sell out for sure. Yeah.
And the cheaper dates tend to sell out quicker too.
Yeah, that's also true. I think from a local standpoint, people don't care so much about when they go. So it's the usual Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, right?
Yeah, except like I was looking at Columbus Day weekend because there's no school on Monday and there's none on Sunday. They actually have that one on Monday so unfortunately, okay, well, there goes that one. There goes that idea. It's usually those are the dates. And then Disneyland Oogie Boogie Bash also announced 27 dates ranging from August 25th to October 31st. Prices are listed at $134 to $189. Individual date prices and on-sale dates have not yet been shared. All dates are listed in our show notes. So,
And this is the first time they've ever done Oogie Boogie Bash before Labor Day. They're backing up into August as well for out in Disneyland.
Yeah, you got four dates before Labor Day. So,
and I'll be attending Oogie Boogie Bash this year. So,
oh, are you?
Yes, they're a group of my DVC points people are having a thing out there, and I got invited to it. So, just myself, not my wife Ilana, but.
And you're not a party person, but I'm sure you're excited about this.
I'm not a party person. I'll say the exception to that is I like to try them once because I don't like to just dismiss things. What I've heard about Oogie Boogie Bash is that it's actually they don't have as much stuff per se as the Florida one, as Mickey's Not So Scary in terms of entertainment, but the character interaction, the character stuff is way better out there because you get a lot of unique characters They do so many unique characters out in California. I mean, same thing with this, because we're going to be out there. It's like Pixar summer. I forget what they're calling it, the Pixar fun summer. But they have all these characters for Pixar. They got Luca. They got the brothers from Onward are meeting. They got Doug is meeting. They got like all these characters that are meeting for in California, and then a bunch of Star Wars characters too. So it's really something how many they have out there in terms of characters. So.
No, it sounds, I mean, I've only heard great things about it. If it wasn't so damn far away, I would totally go.
Yeah, I'm just going out for the weekend, literally. Yeah. Like flying out Friday, coming back Monday, so.
Yeah, that's the way to do it, but it sounds like a great time. Yeah. But we had a lot to talk about.
And one thing to note, I did pull up the map of the Fort Wilderness Cabins, and the 2500 loop is just to the south, it looks like, of the 2300 loop. So it's on the same side of the road, but it's actually near the pool. The 2500 loop is near the pool.
To a pool? Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So,
yeah.
So they're very close to each other.
But yeah, it's probably not there's not a bad spot. But that's it for today. You're headed out to Disneyland.
Yes.
I was not successful in getting Moonlight Magic tickets for June 4th. I think I was like number 500 when I got in for the, because I am staying on site, but I'm staying at All Star and that no longer counts as qualifying trip anymore. I did the open general registration and I think I got to like 147 and it stopped. So they did not have a lot of, because I was like number 500 something. So they did not have a lot of tickets available, but that's fine because I kind of wasn't sure if I wanted to take Ryder by myself to a water park. And now I can't. So that's, I will be taking him. So if anybody
didn't even know.
He doesn't. He doesn't even know about this trip. June 4th. So June 4th and 5th. If anybody's out there and you see me with Ryder, definitely say hi. You know, we're going to say farewell to Test Track before it closes because that's one of his favorite rides. And then we have a trip in July. So looking forward to that. That's when we're staying at Fort Wilderness. Yep, and then we cannot.
We're checking out the Disneyland Hotel. We only got 4 days of tickets to Disneyland, but we have 9 nights at the Disneyland Hotel. So
that's amazing.
We're going to the San Diego Zoo a couple days, going to Universal. We have a day off. So we're doing some different stuff, but we decided to just kind of home base out of Disneyland and then drive from there as opposed to like moving our hotel base across a bunch of different. And even with the transient tax, it's still pretty cheap to stay at the Disneyland Hotel when you just look at California pricing. So
yeah, absolutely. Well, I would say is I know you're probably share some pictures in my DVC points community, but you also have a Facebook group for your own DVC help. And I know you share a lot of pictures and videos there, correct?
I post in both. Okay. So, but yeah, if anyone that's checked out our website, which is dvchelp.com, we have tons of information. We do have an update on the cabins at our website. So we try to keep all the most recent information. My DVC points is a super community of fans and the podcast and everything like that. And don't get me wrong, there's a ton of info also on my DVC points, but the DVC help is really just about when you have questions about DVC, it's a good place to go. We have a lot of facts. We have point charts. We have availability charts, which predict like if you want to go at a certain time of year, will rooms be available? And lots of information about use year and how all those things work. And if you're on the main page, there's a link to a Facebook group that we have. And kind of similarly, it's more about answering questions. So if you have any questions, you can post on that Facebook group as well. But also join my DVC Points Facebook community, because also a very great community here of people and all the podcasts around it as well.
Well, that's how I found the link. I mean, it obviously didn't help me, but I couldn't find the link. I didn't get an email for the Moonlight Magic and someone had shared it in the group. Like, this is the link. It opens at 11. So very, very helpful, really positive, nice. Not all Disney groups are positive. We do have a really nice positive group there. Really great place to ask questions. And it's just a very nice, positive, fun community. And we're very helpful. So I would say that. So, but that is it. Before we go, we want to say thank you to our three sponsors, DVC Resale Market, DVC Rental Store, and Monera Financial for their continued support of the My DVC Points platform. And with that, I will say, see you real soon, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.